Hey guys, welcome back to another Tokyo Munchies podcast, and this is episode number 21. Wow, we're getting there. It's been a couple of months and we're getting there. We're getting some episodes down for you good people out there who want to enjoy what it's like to live in Tokyo vicariously through my podcast. It's an interesting world we live in. So guys, we still haven't got this music sorted out yet with Anchor. I don't know what happened there, but the music icons seem to disappear from my Android device. Also on desktop, there's no music icon either, so we can't add a music like we used to before. We can add backing tracks though underneath the audio, I found out at the end, but yeah, there's no way I can put the good fun tunes at the beginning of the podcast anymore. It's a little bit sad. Contacted Anchor through their Twitter account and they were very fast in their reply and very, very kind in their reply, so we'll see what they can do and I'll message them again later and see how everything's going. But that's neither here nor there. Shout out again to Anchor for being fantastic and letting us good people out there in the world be able to record a podcast and share our quirky lives with the rest of you. Talking about all the stuff that we like. So guys, we're going to kick this off, episode 21, and I kept my word to you. This is Monday in Japan, and I'm doing a podcast, so we're going to do it every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. As long as I have the time to do it, I'm going to keep pushing it. We'll see how it goes, see if you guys like it. If you don't like it, you don't have to listen. That's not my issue. So, we'll start today, as always, with the Tokyo weather. It's Tokyo weather time. It's Monday. It is 3:48 p.m. The weather is clear. It's pretty clear. It's pretty clear. I don't know. It's a little bit hazy, but it looks fairly clear. So it's clear here on a Monday in Tokyo. Temperature right now is at 31 degrees centigrade. For you cats over there across the sea, over in the land of the free, it's 88 degrees Fahrenheit. That's pretty nasty. I don't know. Today's top, though, was 33 degrees, and we're going to have a low at 20. We're just starting off the Japanese summer now, so it's going to get nasty. We get really nasty around about August, September. That's when we're going to start feeling the punch. Australia is still hotter than Japan. It's not a competition. It is definitely not a competition. Before, our average in Australia was 36 to 38 for our highs in summer. Now we're rocketing up to around 42. Some places actually reaching 45. So it's pretty damn toasty in Australia. I think Japan's the same situation. It's getting hotter and hotter every year, and it's getting colder and colder every winter, which is a bonus on both sides because we have beautiful hot summer days and go to the beach and sushi and drink and party, or go to Enoshima, the beach in Enoshima, and drink and party. Or when it's winter time, go snowboarding and just cut sick, snowboard, drink, and party. So it's all good. Extremes are all good. We like extremes sometimes. It just depends on how extreme things are. So yeah, that's it. That's 31 right now. Precipitation, the fancy word for rain. I'm going to stop saying that because you guys are bored of that. But I can't help myself. I like it. It's a nice word. So precipitation is allegedly at 10%, I can't see that happening. 10% is not much of a chance, but I still don't think it's going to happen. Not a chance in hell. Humidity is at 36%, and that I reckon is about spot on. It is a bit sticky today. It's a bit toasty, it's a bit sticky, it's a bit nasty, it's a bit mushiatsui. As I mentioned in the last podcast, mushiatsui, meaning humid or muggy. So yeah, humidity is about spot on. Wind speed is at 4, which I'm not feeling that. I'll look out the window. Is there anything going on out there, wind? Nah. Not a leaf is rustling. There's not a breeze to be seen. I suppose 4 is pretty low for the wind speed. Oh, there's a little bit of a breeze picking up. That's another nice thing about Japanese summers. So you get these really toasty, really sticky days, but in the afternoons, around about this time, we start getting this nice, really cool summer breeze come in. And it just cools the whole city down. It goes from hot and sticky to just nice and gentle and breezy. And yeah, temperature drops really quickly and it's a really nice time of the year to be living here and experiencing the fun things that you can enjoy in Tokyo. So that was the Tokyo weather. I'll leave that alone. We'll come back to you on Wednesday. Tell you more about that on Wednesday. On to the fun stuff. What we always love to talk about is the Japan news. Japan news, courtesy of the Japan news. So we've got the top stories, number one, number two, and number three. We always talk about these three because we don't want to talk about too much news here. We want to focus on the candy because that's what you're here for. You're here for the Tokyo munchies, for the good stuff, the snacks, the candies, the chocolate, the fun. So, top story is number one, the new N700S train dazzles in Tokyo. That's a great word choice. It dazzles. It certainly does dazzle, actually. So the N700S, it is a series of the Shinkansen. The Shinkansen are the bullet trains, if you're not familiar with your Japanese. In English, we call it a bullet train. In Japanese, it's called the Shinkansen. It might actually directly translate to Shinkansen, bullet train, the Shinkansen. I'm not sure. I'll research that a little bit later for you. So, the new N700S Shinkansen bullet train arrives at Tokyo Station on Saturday. So this Saturday just gone, we've got the new Shinkansen now, which is awesome. Pardon me, I clear my throat, it's just too exciting here. Yeah, arrive at Tokyo Station for the first time this Saturday, just gone, on a test run on the Tokaido Shinkansen line. Let's have a look at the details. The N700S departed a rail yard in Shinagawa Ward, Tokyo, on Saturday morning and arrived at Platform 15 of Tokyo Station at around about 10:05 a.m. Now, just quickly on that, guys, why it arrived at 10:05, you probably know a bit about Japan. And one thing that Japan is really famous for, and one thing which is always amazing, which always... It amazed me when I first got here, almost 10 years ago, and it still amazes me now. Japanese trains are to the letter, on the mark, arrive when they are advertised. So, if the sign says, this train will arrive on this platform at 10:05, it arrives on that platform at 10:05, and it leaves about probably 30 seconds later. So that's one thing you can always set your watch to in Japan, the Japanese transport system, the trains, the bullet trains are incredible. You probably would have seen some other news stories recently about, I think one Shinkansen company, they apologized because the train arrived 30 seconds too early, or something like that, it arrived 30 seconds too early or 30 seconds too late. But the company actually bowed down low and apologized for it because it's a terrible thing. You can't be late when you're running the most meanest public transport system in the world. So, from there, it arrived at 10:05 a.m. Many photo-taking rail fans were there at the station to greet the new model. It stayed for about 15 minutes before departing for Shin Osaka Station. So, that's another funny thing you'll see here in Japan. So, many photo-taking rail fans. In Japanese, a rail fan would be a densha otaku. So densha means train in Japanese, and otaku means crazy about, or maniac, or obsessed. So if you're obsessed about trains, about everything about trains, pictures of trains, touching the train, train tickets, train cards, train stamps, train toys, train hats, train whatever, you're a densha otaku. And there's lots of different types of otaku. You probably know Akihabara. Akihabara is famous for the manga otaku or anime otaku. They love the Japanese cartoons, the anime. So yeah, the rail fans, the densha otaku. Whenever you're traveling around Japan, pretty much at nearly every station, you'll see some dude hanging out. It's mainly guys. I haven't actually seen a densha otaku, a female, Japanese female densha otaku yet. It's just been men. And they can start off as like elementary school age boys, and they go right up to around about 50-60 year old guys. They hang out at the very end of the platform as the train's approaching with some pretty impressive cameras, some really nice DSLRs, and they take photographs and videos of the trains coming in. And this is what I asked my wife about this a while ago because I just don't understand it. Oh, I do understand it because I collect certain things, but I don't understand what these guys do with the pictures or the videos after they take them. Do they share them with their friends? Or do they, like, boast with their friends? Like, hey, I got a picture of the new Tokaidol sent today. Aha, you don't have it. Haha. And they show them a little snippet. I don't know, do they print it up on their shirts? They put it up on their social media, on their Instagram, on their Twitter, on their Facebook? I don't know what they do with the pictures. I have no idea. I can understand collecting toys, but I just don't understand what collecting the pictures does. I don't understand it. But anyway, yes, yeah, so the rail fans, I suppose it's one way you say it in English. Yeah, so the Shinkansen went off to Shin Osaka Station. The N700S, pardon me again, is JR's Tokai's first fully remodeled bullet train in 13 years. It features a new structure, reduces air resistance and noise compared with conventional models. All cabin seats are equipped with electrical outlets. Now that, again guys, is another awesome thing about the Shinkansens, about the bullet trains. I have seen it on a regular train. I can't remember what train it was. It might have been on the subway. But there was a power outlet, so you could plug in your phone and charge your phone, or charge your laptop, or charge your nostril hair trimmers, whatever you want to charge. But on the bullet trains, pretty much every single seat on the bullet trains has a little power outlet, electrical outlet. We call it power socket in Australia. So you don't have to worry about your phone going flat when you're playing Pokemon Go on the train. You don't have to worry about your phone going flat when you're on an Instagram binge. You don't have to worry about your phone going flat when you're playing any type of game or watching a video or live streaming or just digitally masturbating on your phone. Because you can just plug it straight into the electrical outlet, which is on your seat. Also, the seats are magical. They're full recline. The headrest reclines, the footrest reclines, the armrest recline. In front of you, there's a little fold-out table. And the little fold-out table is super cool because it has this divot. Sometimes you get two if you're lucky. It has this little divot. And you put your beer can there, or your water bottle, or your Chuhai can. And you'd think it would fall over because the divot's not deep. At most, it's only a couple of... It's only about 1 centimeter deep. But yeah, it does not fall over. I've been on lots of bullet trains, and you just put your beer there, and it just doesn't fall over. It stays there. Sweet ass. And that's another fun part while we're talking about that quickly. One of the things, I don't know about you, but one of the things I really enjoy, I don't take a bullet train every day. I take a bullet train maybe twice or three times a year, four times a year. And it's a little bit of a treat. So you go to Tokyo Station or Ueno Station or Nippori Station. You go into the station. They have this big eatery area where you can get takeaway food. You can get fried chicken, fried potato chips. You can get Japanese or bento. You can get soba, udon, curries, bakeries, sandwiches, buns, lots and lots of amazing food to munch. So what we always do, we go into the eatery area, we get ourselves an obento. I always go for the fried chicken obento. Obento comes with your fried chicken, your serving of rice, a mixture of vegetables, sometimes some other meats, or sometimes some fish. So obentos are fantastic, they're the best way to eat lunch or breakfast or dinner in Japan. Not the cheapest, it depends on where you're shopping, but for me it's one of the best. So you get your obento, you get a few beers or a few chuhais, go to the platform, line up. We always get a reserved ticket, so we have a reserved seat, so you don't have to fight to get a seat. Sometimes if you don't have a reserved ticket, you have to fight to get a seat. And I don't want to pay $50 for a ticket to fight to get a seat. I'd rather pay $55 and have that reserved seat. So you line up, get in the train, sit down, relax. Fold out your little table in front of you, turn your phone on, put on a movie or YouTube or something, and yeah, put your obento on the little table, put your beer in the little divot on the little table, crack your beer open, open your obento, and start having a munch and enjoying your trip. On the Shinkansens too, they have a little food cart, so this lady, she'll be doing the laps up and down the whole length of the train with a little food cart. They sell beer, I think they sell different types of alcohol, like Dramburi or some type of liqueurs. They sell chips, they sell peanuts, they sell snacks. I think they sell meals as well, sandwiches. So if you run out of drinks or if you run out of food, you can just buy more from the lady on the train. I'm pretty sure they accept credit card and cash, or Japanese yen. But yeah, that's my rambling about the news article number one, because that's went on a little bit too long. But as you can see, I am a little bit of a densho otaku, just a little bit. Top stories in the Japan News number 2. This is the fun one. This one will actually blow you guys off your seats onto the ground. You might be rolling around in convulsive laughter, or you might just be rolling around in shock and awe. Number 2. Dramatic fluctuations seen in water use during Japan's World Cup game. Wow, that's newsworthy stuff right there. Here we go, and we've got a little map on here too. That's fantastic. It shows everything which happened over this period of time. I should screenshot this so I can put it up on Instagram for you guys to see it. So, as we said, dramatic fluctuations seen in water use during Japan's World Cup game. Tap water consumption during Japan-Colombia soccer match. And this little map is really interesting. Alright, so we've got a time schedule at the top here. And we've got the day, it's a Tuesday. It's showing a picture of a faucet, or a tap. Faucet's another fancy word, eh? Fancy word for a tap. And we've got a picture of a dunny. If you don't know what a dunny is, that's a toilet in Australia. So you go to the dunny. other words in Australia for dunny would be shitter or pisser. Or the thunderbox. But we'll call it a faucet and a toilet, just for being PC. So here we go from the map. Top has all the infographic on there with the times. Down the bottom it actually has from 7:30 PM start to 11:30 PM finish. We'll go through this map quickly for you guys. So at 7:30, the start of the broadcast, 7:30 PM. It's showing a little, I don't know what you call that again, I'm losing my English, I've been living here for too long. It's a little graph indicating the spikes and the dips. Tuesday, it's showing the rise, and then it's showing the average. So yeah, it definitely spiked. The water spiked, the usage spiked fairly significantly, not massively. From 7:30 to 9 PM, it spiked. Then start of the game, from 9 PM, it dropped. In the first half, it dropped quite a lot from 9 PM to 9:30. It's amazing, isn't it? I don't know why. I have no idea why. Why would that drop? Why? End of the first half at 9:47 PM. Bang! Shot right back up, almost to like the beginning of the, almost at the same as the 7:30 start. Halftime. Let's guess. Let's think. Why? You think people go in the toilet? You think people washing your hands? Do you think people cooking something? Maybe all of these things, all of them together. Conspiring to make the water fluctuate on such a dramatic level. Anyway, that's amazing. So, start of the second half at 10:02 PM, exactly, precisely. Second half starts, it proceeds to 10:53 PM. From there, we see a massive, massive drop. Water drops right down, well, well below the average for Tuesday. Massively. and, wow, amazing. To be expected. The water spiked at the end of the game. It spiked right up. Didn't quite hit the... Actually, yeah, it did. It went above the average use fairly significantly. Not massively, but yeah, enough. And then to end the broadcast at 11:30 PM, they just tape it off again. Amazing. There's a massive... Wow. There's a massive write-up about this. I don't know if I want to talk about this too much because it's so exciting. I'm going to have a heart attack. Yeah, we saw a sharp increase in water during the halftime. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. We just talked a lot about that. And here's what apparently happened. This was apparently because many people use bathrooms and other water equipment at halftime and after the game. That's amazing. I normally use water equipment during an exciting match. I just can't help myself. I need to use a faucet. When something's exciting happening, I just need to be near a tap using water equipment. And as it goes on to say, as a similar phenomenon takes place during international sporting events, including the Olympics, the Tokyo Metropolitan Government's Waterworks Bureau said it takes such measures as adjusting water pressure to avoid a situation which water does not flow smoothly from traps due to fluctuations. See, that's how much they care about you guys. The Tokyo Metropolitan Government's Waterworks Bureau is actually there, hands on the taps, making sure you get good flow. Because they want you to be happy. They want your flow to be nice. They want it coming through perfectly, smoothly. That's all about love. It's all about care. That's what we're here for. So that's Tokyo News number 2. Sorry, Japan News number 2. And last but not least, Japan News number 3. The Japan News insight into the world. US-China row bad for world economy. Duh. I don't know when I talk about this too much because it's boring. Well, it's not boring. It's important, but... We read about it every day in the news. We don't really need to talk about it here at Tokyo Munchies. United States recently ratcheted up pressure on China. Blah, blah, blah. And here's a killer of a sentence. What really surprises me is the US president's stance to deliver on all of those campaign promises of his that are neither coherent or consistent. That's a cracker, that one. Right, and yeah, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and wow, man. That's quite an effort. That guy has easily written well over 5,000 words there on that article. He must be a very exciting guy. I really enjoy his economy. Anyway, so that's it. That's it for today. That's the world news. That's the Japan news, number one, number two, number three. So on to the important thing. Number one, we're going to talk about Hot Wheels. Hot Wheels, we all love Hot Wheels as a kid growing up. I'm not sure about you ladies too much if you're into toy cars, but I'm a boy, so yeah, I was a boy. But we love our toy cars, Matchbox or Hot Wheels, either, both awesome. So I put this up in the shop because I deal with some Japanese toys as well as candy and snacks and munchies. I put this up in the shop. This is a really, really awesome score. I was hunting for candy, as you do. I had my trusty shotgun, had my net. I was wearing my car keys, knee-high socks, nice boots. I'm stalking these candy through the city like a honey badger stalks a lion. And I found this really awesome Hot Wheels toy. It's a 2003 Mattel original Hot Wheels. It's from Chara. It's a Chara Wheels series. Chara is anime series. The anime series was Space Adventure Cobra. And that was really cool. I'm not sure if you guys have ever seen it. Space Adventure Cobra. Cobra, the main character dude, he's this guy and he's wearing this like red skin tight shirt and skin tight pants. He's looking like a red Batman. He's got one of his arms chopped off and he's in place. He's got this laser cannon thing. Blonde dude, he seems to be smoking a cigar. Oh, he is smoking a cigar. Alright, that's good for the kids. But anyway, I just found this awesome Hot Wheels, Chara Wheels, Space Adventure Cobra, and it's the air bike prototype. And what makes this so much cooler is it is in mint condition from 2003. It has not been opened. It's still on the original Hot Wheels card. Card has storage damage to the corners and creases and stuff like that. And there's a little bit of heat warpage at the top of the plastic packaging, which holds the little bike in there. It's popped the corner of the plastic open a little bit, but it's still sealed. It's still got the little Hot Wheels, little magazine, like, description thing underneath the bike. He hasn't been opened. He is original mint 2003. And when I first saw that, I thought, wow, that is super cool. That's got to be rare. So I researched it, and I found that these are actually selling online, selling on eBay, from anywhere from $55 up to $65. And I couldn't help myself, but I had to grab it. I wanted to keep it, but I can't keep toys anymore because my wife won't let me. Because if you know anything about Japanese houses, you know they're very, very small, so we have no room. So I'm going to let this guy fly free, and I put him up in the shop for sale. Due to the little bit of heat warpage to the plastic packaging, I'm actually going to sell this a lot cheaper than the other ones you'll find online. I'm going to let this guy go for $40 plus shipping. So he's on there right now for sale. There's only one. I will keep my eyes out for more gems like that as I'm out candy hunting, but man, I love fun and stuff like this. It's super cool. It's super exciting. So I grabbed that, and as I said, it's up in the shop for you guys to buy. There is only one available, so if you want it, go jump on there now and grab it because I can't hold it for anybody. If you're nice, email me and I might be able to hold it for you, but it's on the shop. It's for sale right now. First in, best dress. Go in there and grab it, and yeah, send me a message and say thanks for the goodness, or yeah, hit me up on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook and yeah, just say g'day, how you going? So that was the most awesome gem I found. Actually, no, that wasn't the most awesome, there's more to come. That was awesome. The second one I found, this one is really doing my head in. I've been researching this. I've actually reached out to a few different podcasters, I think the Rebel Radio guys over in the US. Also, I've reached out to a few guys that do Stormtrooper stuff and props and Star Wars stuff. It's a gold coin, or it's a gold-colored coin. It's pretty big, and it is a Star Wars 20 years edition, like commemorative coin, celebrating 20 years of Star Wars from 1977 to 1997. Now, the reason this coin is doing my head in is I've been researching it, and I've been asking lots of people. Apparently, Franklin Mint did one. And they did one a long time ago. But the Franklin Mint one was a silver and gold plated coin. It was actually worth a fair bit of money because it's silver and real gold. This coin looks like it, but the Franklin Mint coin is engraved. This coin is embossed. So if you know the difference, so this coin, all the lettering is poking out. The Franklin Mint coin is engraved, so the lettering is carved into the coin. Another thing which is different about this coin is the finish is not as beautiful as you'd expect it to be if it was a Franklin Mint coin. It has like stroke marks in it. Like it looks like brush strokes, but it's not painted. I pulled it out and I put on some gloves and I had a look at it because it's in its original case. And it's not painted, it's really, really heavy. It's got a lot of weight. And another thing too, with the Franklin Mint coin, the case is totally different from the case that I have. This case is clear, and it's got the Star Wars logo on the front, surrounded by a red box. And it says on the bottom, TM copyright 1997 Lucasfilms Limited dot. And yeah. On the back, it's got the TM and copyright 1997 Lucasfilms Limited dot. On the back, it's got a picture of C-3PO and R2-D2 together, from a classic shot from the film. Again, this is embossed, it's not engraved. So, I have absolutely no idea about this coin. As I said, I've got people helping me find out about it, and no one knows anything about it. I think it's the Rebel Radio guys. I think those guys, Rebel Radio Podcast. They're really cool guys. Go have a listen to their podcast. I think he might have hit the nail on the head. I think he suggested it might be like a limited release specialty promotional token or coin from a cinema, from a theater. So it's affiliated with LucasArts, Lucasfilms. It's an original Star Wars promotional product. But it's not made by Franklin Mint. Also, I forgot about that. In New Zealand, apparently they made the same coin as well. But again, I researched that New Zealand coin, and it's a different quality, and it's a different container. So the guy I was talking about, it, I think he hit the nail on the head. I think this is a limited release promotional product from a theatre. Maybe a smallish theatre, not a massive one. Actually, no, that's probably incorrect, because it's pretty decent quality promotional product. But yeah, I have no idea what to do with this. I'm going to put it in the shop and the limited edition stuff and sell it. But I'm just trying to get a price on it. So I'll put some more pictures up on Instagram of this later so you guys can see it again. That was find number 2, which was awesome. But the find number 3, now this one. This is the coup de grace. This is the bomb. This is the best. This one is awesome. It's really heavy. Come here, you. Careful, I'll drop it. I'm not sure if I can get it. I got it. Yay. This is the most epic... Oh, there we go. Everything's fallen over now. This is probably the most epic thing I have ever seen. I used to play a lot of computer games, a lot of PS, a lot of Nintendo, a lot of Sega back in the day. I was in this second-hand shop, and they sell books and computer games and stuff, and I spied this at the corner of my eye, and it's a beast. You guys are probably all familiar with Dragon Quest. Dragon Quest is a long-running computer game series released from Japan. Graphics are really similar to Dragon Ball Z-style graphics for the characters. And this is the Dragon Quest Victory controller. It's Arcade Project Studio Square. Enix rights registered Dragon Quest. Yeah, it's registered trademark. I researched this, I forgot the name of the game in English. It's written on this in Japanese. Ko Chirusu na Jiro. I think it's Sky Road or something like that. I can't remember the name of it. But yeah, this controller is epic, man. It's a copy of the arcade style gameplay. So you've got a big red button, the big blue button on the top for smacking. And on the sides it's got L and ZL. That's left, and on the right hand side, yeah, it's got R and ZR, and then it's got a little joystick on the top, like in your little Nintendo one, and it's got your XY AB buttons. You select your home, your start buttons. But the awesome thing, the best thing about this is the controller. the thing is, what makes it even better, so it's a copy of the arcade desktop, but the key thing is, there's a massive sword handle sticking out of it. It's huge. It's really, really big. It's actually, if you pull the sword out, it's not a full-size sword though, it's just the handle, plus about probably 5 or 6 inches of the blade. If you ever played this arcade game, in the arcade they actually had the full-size sword, and they actually used the sword to do a special attack when you were playing the game. So that's what this is replicating. So you can plug this into your Wii and replicate that arcade experience with pretty much the same sword. And you push it down to do the special attack, and you can rotate the handle too to do another attack. And it's epic. I put a picture of this up on Instagram a long time ago, but I'm gonna put another one up there because it's magic. It's awesome. It's probably the best thing I've ever seen associated with a computer game. I wish I had a Wii. I'm gonna go track one down so I can actually use this. I did a little bit of research on this. These guys sell for $200, around $200 in the box. You can actually find them in the box sometimes. This is open, it's not in the box anymore, but it's wrapped in plastic, so it's well protected, and it's in amazing condition. There's no damage. Comes with its cord too, so you can plug it straight in. If you're interested in this, guys, it only works with the Japanese version of the game. I'll do some more research on it, and I will put this bad boy up on the shop too for sale, so if you're interested, yep, jump in and say hello to Tokyo Munchies and come and have a look. Because you're gonna love this. It's crazy. Right, so we're just about done here for today, guys, so we're gonna wrap this up. I'll put you back so you don't get damaged. Yeah! Back in the box. So, as always, we want to say goodbye to you guys with a shout-out to our supporters. So, our good friends at the Kriegel Thinking Podcast, thank you. We appreciate your support all the time. Also, a shout-out to the Rebel Radio Podcast. You guys are awesome. Thank you for your likes and supports and retweets. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Also, we want to shout out to the Manga Sensei. If you want to learn Japanese the fun, friendly, and easy way, please go to themangasensei.com for all your Japanese learning needs. He has download PDFs. He has lots of things that you can download to help you learn Japanese the fun, easy, and friendly way. And lastly, but not least, we have Craig Hoffman at Craig Hoffman 11 on Twitter. Craig Hoffman is one really cool cat. He's been living in Japan for quite a long time. He has a lot of insightful things about living in Japan. He's a great guy. He's really friendly. You can jump over there and support him. Follow his tweets. Listen to his, this is definitely not a podcast, YouTube videos he does. He also does a lot of other stuff online too. He does social media marketing. He is a guru. He does lots of stuff to help people out. He's a great guy. So that's the end of episode. Ah, sorry, I forgot. Last one. Uncanny Comics in Rosenberg, Texas. Go see Joseph and his two dogs in the shop for all your comic book needs. He has got everything you could possibly imagine. He's got amazing Japanese anime figurines in his shop for sale there. He plays, has card game nights. He's got a huge selection of comics. Go check out Joseph. He's an awesome guy. Say g'day to him from Kyle from Tokyo Munchies if you ever drop in. And that's it for episode 21, guys. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. And as always, this is Tokyo Munchies signing out. If you've got the munchies, we've got the munchies. TokyoMunchies.tiktok.com.